a time of worship and sharing about the challenges of life and ministry. At the same time, I hope that you enjoyed that video. I certainly did. And one thing that I really got from him is that, you know, he spoke about how faith affects the way he plays basketball, the way in which he, you know, faith is not disjointed. And I often find that in life, we tend to be unable to connect faith to life and ministry. For him, faith, right from a very young teenager, it affected him. It affected his, you know, even though he was the least potential person in that, you know, group of people at Kobe Bryant's clinic, you know, he had a faith that affected his attitude. You know, he was there half an hour earlier. He was the last person to go because he wanted to ensure that he hit five difficult shots in a row before he left the place. That's attitude for you. And I like that. And sometimes, you know, he is not very tall, he's, you know, the least potential, but because of his faith, it affected his attitude. It affected his perspective. It affected the way in which he sought to, you know, practice and practice and practice and practice until he was really, really very good at what he did. I didn't know about Stephen Curry until this year's NBA. I mean, I follow NBA along the way. And it was until they really got into the finals that I began to pay attention. He's really, really very good. But what's more outstanding is his faith. And what he says is true. It's not about where you come from, who you are, what kind of so-called gifts you have, and so on and so forth. It's about faith. And I think even as we consider this idea of faith, we want to be able to see that faith cannot be disjointed. Faith has to be connected to life and to ministry, and that will make a world change for your life. Now, I'd just like to say that in two weeks' time, as a young adults, we will be leading in the morning worship. Okay, six of us will be leading in the chairing and so on. And the rest of us, we are going to stand on the stage. Okay? So, once again, please, all of you, and tell your other friends, those in the young adults and so on, let's all go up with one heart, one mind, one spirit. Okay? So, are you with me? Are you? Okay? So, we will all go up. Okay, tomorrow you will see the Pines, and then the following Sunday you will see the young people. And I hope to see all of you up there. I will be speaking on that day, so it will be very much and one voice will be singing. So it's something for us to really share about how we see oneness in our lives, and in ministry, and so on and so forth. Okay, that's something that we will be planning to do. Now, I think I've been getting a bit of feedback concerning last Saturday's lesson about growth. And we all struggle with hindrances. We all struggle with difficulties. And I think we're all concerned. We're all concerned about how, after years and even years of being a Christian, and we don't grow beyond a certain level. And I think that's something that we all need to be very aware of. But there's no point trying to say that, okay, you know what, this is something that I'm challenged by, I recognize this problem, I have this distraction, this hindrance in my life, and so on and so forth, and say, okay, you know what, that was a good reflection and everything else, and, you know, nothing comes out of it. 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, 1 year later, you know what, it is the same old. I'm going to challenge you to really seek to do something about it. If somehow your life is not quite where it should be in terms of growth, in terms of ministry, in terms of how you want to live your life for the Lord, let me encourage you to do something about it now. Don't wait a week later, don't wait a month later, don't wait a year later, don't wait 10 years later. I can tell you this, life will come and it go, and you know what, before you know it, life has passed you by, and we are not grown beyond a certain level. Let me encourage you, please, for your sake, for the Lord's sake, for the church's sake, please, do something about it now. If you need to talk to someone, talk to someone. You need somebody to run with you, get that person to run with you. We will run with you. But do something about it. I'm very, very concerned. I'm burdened for each and every one of you. I'm burdened because I look at your life and I see potential. You know, you look at Stephen Curry and the person that was commentating. You say, you know what? I saw him and I see potential. I see potential in each and every one of you. But if you're not going to be serious about your faith, if you're not going to make the necessary changes in your life and not allow the things of the world to get the better of you, nobody, not even God, can do anything about it. You need to allow God to work in your life, to make the necessary changes so that you can really grow. Today we're going to talk about something that I, you know, as a good follow-up from what we have learned last Saturday. And that is, we all need to look at our own lives. If our life is a building. Okay, I'm not a very good draw. I'm not a graphic artist or designer or whatever. But today I'm going to ask you to think about being an architect. Of course, we have Adeline. She is a professional architect. And, you know, she is learning and growing to be a good one. And she's helping out with our building project and so on and so forth. And the way the session works with her and so on, you know, what I really like about what she does is that she's really passionate about what she does. And, you know, we don't have to, like, always check with Adeline, you know, are you doing the necessary work? Are you doing this? You know, she's working hard at it. If there are certain changes that we have to make concerning the design of our A&A and everything, you know, she's working hard at reconsidering things with the architects and so on and so forth. But my question to you, if I were to ask you to be an architect, one of your life today, how passionate would you be? Would you take it very seriously about designing your life in a way that is according to the scriptures, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, according to His ways? Okay, there are two things that you need to work on, right? First of all, you need to work on your foundation. What kind of foundation do we have? And then secondly, we need to build upon that foundation, whether there are pillars that we need to raise up and to build upon it. Doesn't it look like our church? Right? Okay, so that's something for us to think about. And I'm going to ask you to put it to a stress test. Right, you ask Aline, when they build something, they need to go through stress test, right? You've got to go through whether this is strong enough, right? They have internal checks, and then they get external checks, and so on and so forth. If I would ask you to go through a stress test today, and check your foundation. Now, some of you are fairly new to the faith, you're discovering bit by bit. Please, as you begin to build that foundation, please build it well. Because if you don't build it well, you don't build a good, strong foundation, it's going to affect the whole building. And you're going to struggle with a building that is not correctly built. And sometimes you need to redo things again. And, you know, That is the challenge. I don't know whether you remember about this in Korea. They had this shopping center that collapsed many, many years ago. Do you all remember that? I can't remember what's the name of the shopping center. But anyway, this shopping center collapsed, and as they were, you know, digging up things and so on and so forth, they discovered that the foundation had biscuit tins inside. They were trying to cut costs, and they threw biscuit tins in the foundation. And the whole thing just collapsed one day. So I'm going to ask you, if you look at your own foundation, are there biscuit tins in your foundation of your faith? Because if there are biscuit tins, one day, I can tell you this, certain parts of your building, your life is going to collapse. You will not pass the stress test. It is important for you to start to build good foundations. See, if it's, you know, it is something for us. Let's turn to Matthew, first of all. And in Matthew chapter 7, we read of how the Lord Jesus, okay, as you know, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, really is about the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? And the Lord Jesus, towards the end, he said these words. 24, he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." It's familiar to many of you. You have read this text many times. You have studied this story many times. Okay? But let me ask you, whether this, even this verse 24, whether this verse is truly real in your life. It's not about just knowing the story. It's not just about understanding the story. It's about whether this verse is real in your life. Because it says here how the Lord Jesus, as he laid this foundation, he said, "Therefore." Therefore is always a reference to what was already stated. So he was making reference to chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. He was talking about the Beatitudes. He was talking about the Lord's Prayer. He was looking about all these things and how all these things, what you have heard. What you have heard and practice. What have you done? Okay? "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, or words of mine, and does them." Now, the "and" is what we call a coordinate chi. Meaning that the word "hearing" and the word "doing" is coordinated. They go together. If you understand this verse, and you say this verse is real to you, then what you hear as what the Lord Jesus taught, you will also do. So I'm going to challenge you and ask you, how much of the chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, this is a very, they are fundamental truths concerning what it means to be a disciple, to form the foundation of your life. How much of that is really part of your foundation? Seriously. I mean, the Beatitudes. Do you know the Beatitudes? "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, right? For they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And on and on and on. How many of you are salt of the earth? How many of you are light of the world? How many of you take seriously the Lord's Prayer? Do you pray at all? Consistently, every day? How many of you will say that, you know what, I walk the straight and narrow way? Not to the left, not to the right, but the straight and narrow way. How much of what the Lord Jesus taught is there in your life, heard, understood, and applied? Now, I'm going through the Lord's Prayer with my own discipleship class. And, you know, as I teach them, they just just fascinated. And, you know, many of them are, you know, learning what it means to grow in their faith. And just learning what it means to, okay, you know what, this is how we pray. This is how we relate to the Lord as Father. You know what? How much of these fundamental truths are there as part of your foundation? I must tell you, it's not easy. When you come to love your enemies, wow. How many of us can really say we can love our enemies? Hong Shen, can you love your enemies? Sorry? Who's your enemy? I'm sure you have enemies, right? No. Well, all of us have enemies. Not that we know of. But it's, maybe some people don't like us. You don't know. Right? And the thing is, how many of these things are really part of us? Now, it says, right, that then you will be like, you know, a man who is wise, who built his house upon a rock. And a rock is what we call a bedrock. It is something that will stand firm the storms of life. You know, this week we had a tragedy over in Myanmar. And one of our missionaries over in Rakhine State, he, his wife, and two other students were traveling on a boat. In the Rakhine State, they travel mainly by boat. I mean, along the waterways, along the villages. They have one village to another village. When they travel, they will travel by boat. And there came flash floods, there were storms, and the boat capsized. And his wife drowned. And it was really a traumatic experience for that missionary. She was the one that has been the backbone of the family. She is one who loves the Lord and encouraged him to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord. But he lost his wife, and you know he's just really very badly affected. In fact, he's so affected that the other missionaries have sought to be with him through this time. They're just very concerned about him. He's not able to cope with the loss of his wife. And the reality is that, you know, there will be storms. Initially, we wanted to build a church building over in by the river, okay? And it was discovered that the place that they wanted to build the church was too near the river. And it's exactly like this. If you build too near the river, it is on sandy, it's too sandy, it's not strong enough, the floods will come. It's very unwise. So we decided to actually shelve the idea. And what we gave this week to the Myanmar missions was really towards this man, to support him and to help in the funeral arrangements and so on. And even after 4 days, they have not been able to send out a search party to look for the body of the wife, or his wife. I mean, those are realities of life. And sometimes it's true, it's unreal to us, what they go through. But what about the storms of life that we go through in our own challenges, whether it's at work, or families, or the difficulties that we will find ourselves in? Do we have the Word of God strong enough as part of our foundation that helps us to rise above the challenges that we experience? If we are not coping well, then very honestly, there must be some consideration about whether that foundation... So, I'm going to encourage you to do a stress test about your foundation. What is it that makes up your foundation? Does the words of Christ form the bulk of what that foundation is? Is Christ really there? And that's something for us to think about. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3, and I'll show you what it means for us to be a wise master builder as Paul did. Okay? Now, in 1 Corinthians 3, we read about how the Apostle Paul talked about himself as a wise master builder. And now verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder. Now, the word master builder is the word architect in Greek. Okay? And he's a wise master builder. And he says, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. And another builds on it. Now, we know who Paul is. He's such a great apostle, preacher. He knew the Lord's word very well. He served the Lord, and so on and so forth. He's a prolific writer. He's a great missionary. Now, and this is who he is as a wise master builder. And he says here that, but another, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Now, the word another is the word alos. Okay? Now, this word, what does it mean? It means that it is another, but of the same kind. So, another one who is the builder is similar to the kind of person, a wise master builder, that Paul was. Another builds on it. Another architect. Another builder. Now, there's another Greek word that also is translated as another, but is of a different kind. That word is what we call heteros. And it's often used in a negative way. For instance, that you're drawn to another gospel, a false gospel. It looks like the same. It's also used as the word gospel, but it's another gospel. Another, but it's of a different kind. But this word that is used here is another, but of the same kind. Same word that is used for another helper. I will give you another helper. Another, but of the same kind as the Lord Jesus. That is a reference to the Holy Spirit. So the challenge is, what kind of architect are we? If you were to build your life, what kind of foundation do you really have? And what is it that you're really going to build upon it? And that's something for us to think about now. Because that is going to affect everything else about your life. Okay? Who you are in terms of foundation, who you are as you build your life, is going to affect everything about your life. About your life at work, about your life in a family, about your life in your relationship. Now, this week I was just talking to somebody and I was saying, look, you first of all, you need to build your foundation for your own life. What is your foundation like? Now, and then you enter into a relationship. What is the foundation of your friend? What is this foundation? Is there any foundation in the first place? Secondly, if there's a foundation, what kind of foundation is there? And if you were to build your life together, I'm going to ask you, because two shall be one day, because you're looking at marriage one day, then what is the foundation? Now, if this somehow does not match this, let me ask you, what are you going to end up with? You're going to have a foundation with biscuit tins in it. Very honestly. It's not going to work. We always tend to think that it will work out itself. It's not going to work. I can tell you this, one day, you can almost predict that relationship is in trouble. So I'm going to ask you, please, work out your foundation, how you want to build, because it is going to affect your relationship and your marriage one day. I'm serious about this. And that's what we teach at marriage counseling. If you can't find somebody that is built upon the same foundation, please, please be very, very wise about it. Okay, so that's something that you need to think about as we consider this. Now, it goes on to talk about what is it that we build upon. Okay, any questions at this time? go ahead and ask questions. I'd rather that you raise questions and let's think about this together. Okay? Now, what is it that we want to build upon this foundation? It's very interesting how this is something for us to think about. Okay? Now, it says here, for no other foundation can anyone build, verse 11, anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive his reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be safe, yet so as through fire. Now, what is all this about? What is this wood, hay, straw? And what is this gold, silver, and precious stone? Tawa, what do you think? What is the difference? There are two categories here. What is the difference? What is the imagery first of all? You are going to go through the fire. Yeah? Correct? So, what happens? Which will be burned? The hay, the wood, the straw. That is going to burn, right? So, if you were to build, right, the three little pigs, my house that's built with straw. You all know the three little pigs? Yeah? And you know what? It's not the wolf, okay, that's going to blow it down. It's the fire that's going to come and destroy it. At the end of life, when the Lord comes again, the day of the Lord, you know what? This will be deemed as nothing. Now, what is this? Of course, the other way, if you build your house, right, on a firm foundation of Christ, and there is gold, okay, let's have gold bars, right, and then you have silver, right, and precious stone, whether it's diamonds or whatever, wow, solid house. Bethany 4. Right? When you go through that fire, it will last, right? Because it's gold, it's silver, it's precious stone. Now, what is this all about? What does it represent, actually? Justina, what do you think? What is gold, silver, precious stone? And what is wood, hay, straw? Sorry? Experiences. Well, not exactly. What's the difference? What are we talking about here? Sorry? Not so much as refining process, okay? It's not about refining process. It's about the Lord's judgment, actually. When you talk about a fire, is that this, whatever house you have built, is going to go through the fire. Okay? This is the Lord's judgment. And whether you will receive reward or not is being determined by this fire. When I say judgment, it's judgment for Christians. Okay? This is not about whether you're saved or not. Because it says here, right, towards the end, it says here, if anyone, verse 15, anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Meaning, this is not about salvation. It's about what? Your faith. What else? About your works. Okay? It's about your works. And the question is, first of all, do you have works? That is something that we need to ask. Right? If you're not serving the Lord, you're not doing any works, then, you know what, there's a big question mark. Secondly, as you do your works, what kind of work you're doing matters. Now, very quickly, let me set in context. What is this wood, hay, and straw? In the context of 1 Corinthians. And this is something that we are going to study in a morning worship and so on and so forth. See, because the Corinthian church was very gifted. And they were challenged to serve the Lord and to minister, which they did. They had many gifts. But big problem is that they were divided. They did not have that oneness. Oneness because, you know, somehow it was affected. Right? Now, tomorrow, Pastor will be talking about this idea of division. There is division. Somehow, you're not standing together as we serve together. There is division. You know, I am of Apollos. I am of Paul. I am of this person and that person. There is division. They stood divided. Okay? In chapter 2, we have the problem of how, you know, they were more drawn to the wisdom of the world and so on and so forth. They were not being guided by the wisdom of God. So if you serve and you do the work of God and it is by the wisdom of the world, you know what? The work can be burned. Chapter 3 is about carnality, and I will be speaking about this in a couple of weeks' time. Where there is carnality, there's strife with each other and so on. And we talked about this last Saturday. Because of spiritual immaturity, there is division. Now, in throughout the whole book, you will see 1 Corinthians is all about problems. And they were suing each other, they had sexual immorality, they had all kinds of issues, they had a tongue speaking problems, difficulties in understanding, all these things. And all these things were problems that affected the way they related to each other and affected the way they served God in terms of their works. And because of this, these works were considered as works of hay, wood, and straw. And if we allow these things into the way we serve the Lord or our ministry, that is also wood, hay, and straw. And let me say, that is very scary. I'm going to challenge you to think this through very, very carefully. Is Christ the foundation? You know, it's going to be very, very, you know, yes, you still have salvation, but all the works and ministry and service that you have done throughout your life, it can be burned away. If we don't have that solid foundation, we don't know how to build upon it properly. You can say, you know, I serve, okay, you know, at Lynn and Linya, you know, we recognize how challenging it is to serve and to work together. And, you know, but along the way, somehow they don't get along and Linya say, hey, Lynn, why are you like that? You know, terrible, I can't stand you, you know, the way you play, the way you sit, the way you... Right, and then Adeline look back and think, you think I can stand you also? Then after a while, you know, it becomes all kinds of conflict. I mean, I can say that because they work together very well and so on. Right, true, right? And that's not true, right, what I just said, right? But you know, if we do that, if somehow we serve alongside somebody and we say, hey, this guy is, you know, I can't, you know, your whole heart. If there is no joy in what you're doing in terms of serving the Lord, I can tell you this. It may be hay. It may be straw. This word goes out to each and every one. And you know what? I'm also telling myself, how are you truly serving the Lord? If your attitude, you know, that's why I really like Stephen Curry's testimony, because his attitude is so great because of his faith. He doesn't mind going the extra mile to do what is necessary for the sake of his career, for the sake of his team, for the sake of the Lord. What are you willing to do? I mean, your whole attitude in coming to church. That's why, you know, I can't understand why pastor has to drum it to the people, you know, in Sunday school. Again and again and again and again. Come early. We are having pre-worship. Come early. What is the problem? Why can't we come earlier a little bit more? He comes half an hour earlier so that he can shoot more hoops than anybody else. And by the time the others, you know, you were saying, they all come in their flip-flops, their earphones and everything else. And then he has done 150 shots already. He's geared up for his practice already. He's prepared. What about us? It shows attitude. It shows the kind of passion that we have. Because you know what? There is no passion. I'm here early, okay? Because I stay here. If you want to stay over so that you can be early, you let me know. We'll find a place for you. No, no place for you, okay? But you know what, please? If you want to grow in terms of your faith, in terms a basic thing like that, come early. What is so difficult? You come early to work. You come early on your school days. Right? Nobody is late for school, right? Don't tell me you come 3 and you walk in. Hey, hello everybody. Hello principal. Hello teacher. Hello Mrs. Tan. How are you? Long time no see. If you're a student coming like that, how?
Goodbye.
Precisely the point. Goodbye. Thank you very much. What about the Lord? For Sunday school? What about Sunday school? Come on. Now is the time to change. Yeah. Yes. Well, yes, correct. So, one day, there are, of course, the best reward is what? You have a place in heaven. Right? To me, that is the best reward. But there are other rewards. Right? In John 14, it says, the Lord has prepared a place for you. You know, a room in His mansion. And not only that, you will also have a crown of righteousness. Okay? Now, turn with me to one Corinthians 9. Okay. And sorry, looking at the wrong. Right, verse 20. Before that, in verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. You know, Stephen Curry, the last part, I like what he said. You know, I mean, to me, the greatest is that I have a place in heaven, and I look forward to having that prize. That's a crown. How that crown, what is it actually? We really don't know beyond this level. But we know it as a crown. And a crown of righteousness. An imperishable crown. One day, we will get this.
So it leads to my next question. Say if someone comes to you and says, you know, I believe and all that kind of thing, and you know, probably it will be in a nice room next to God, whereas I'm, you know, outside here. It happens, but also, you know, maybe not as nice as you because I don't have much as much work. I'm content with
Yeah. My question to you is, I go back to this question of foundation. You see, Tawa is the whole attitude. You're right. There are many like that. And the attitude is, you know what? I am saved. Correct? But salvation is linked to that foundation. Correct? Now, if we are saved, then we must learn to be a disciple. To me, salvation and discipleship is linked. There is ramification to that salvation. There is fruits of repentance that must be displayed. Correct? You go back to Matthew 5. Matthew 7. Okay? And this one is, of course, in line with false prophets. Okay? And then in verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Correct? 17. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. Do you have fruits? Fruits of repentance. Fruits in your life. Fruits in terms of the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits in terms of works. 34, 64, 100-fold. If we really have the seed of the highest quality, there will be fruits. By your fruits, usually. So, if somebody tells me, you know what, I'm saved, but, you know, I don't mind having somewhere outside, just, you know, whatever, instead of the more central areas or whatever it may be, whatever that means. And you know what? I don't have to serve. Okay, lah, you know, that's the danger. And the danger is, we can say that, you know what, I'm just happy, we're complacent with having to just have salvation. Good enough. But, you know, I don't have to worry about works. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to serve the Lord. I don't need to do all these things. First, straight away, I'll question your salvation. You think, you presume that you are saved. Straight away, I will question your salvation. Because that's not what a good, solid foundation is. Do you walk the straight and narrow way? If you don't, what kind of foundation do we have? Jesus? The foundation has to be guided by Christ. Chapters 5, 6, 7 is Christ, His words. In 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about Christ as that foundation. Right? So, when you have complacency, when you, you know, you put it whatever way you want to talk about, you know, I'm just happy where I am. See, happiness. That's why I don't work with, I'm happy. Oh, I'm peaceful. It's very deceptive. Happiness can be very deceptive, I can tell you this. Because your understanding can be the wrong understanding. And because it's a wrong understanding, your salvation is actually in doubt. Big question mark. Can you see the problem? Okay, any other questions? Yeah. Yeah, okay. The way we look at it is that gold, silver, and hay are reference to people who does good works. Okay? That means these are works that is in line with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone, right? So as the chief cornerstone, he aligns the whole building. And how you build upon it, it is consistent. That means your life, your ministry is consistent with Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Okay? Now, wood, hay, stubble, or straw is, when you do works, what we call bad works, okay? And it is very similar to the Corinthian church, where they have so many problems. As they do the ministry, they have many, many problems. You know, with all these issues, sin and everything else, the works that is done in this context is considered hay, wood, and straw. Now, you're right in saying that if I do dead works because I don't have faith, same. It will be wood, hay, and stubble because you didn't have faith in the first place. Okay, but faith in the context of James is really about works that are manifestation of faith. Faith without works is dead. Okay, now you turn to me to Hebrews. Very quickly now. In Hebrews chapter 6, we also see how, and last week we were looking at, you know, spiritual maturity and so on. In chapter 6, let me raise this up. Okay, and he says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. This dead works is a reference to works that is done, ritualistically, works that is done in a legalistic way of doing things. It's just external religiosity. There's no heart, there's no spirit, there is no faith. This is what he's talking about, dead works. You all be burned. So repentance from these dead works. Okay? And of faith toward God. Faith toward God. This is what we are talking about. What is the fundamental faith that you have? It is the knowledge that we have in God that matters. The solid meat that we want to look at. So, you know, Ting Ping, as she shared just now, and she was saying, you know, first time she met out with me, and, when I raise questions, I'm looking for faith. And if the faith is not there, I will tell you. You better rethink about this. Better for you to rethink it. Look for what true salvation of faith is. And then when you get baptized, it is so much more significant. I'm glad for you. It's not we are trying to be cruel, we're trying, oh, you pastor, so bad, so, you know, not so kind, and so. No, it's not about that. It's for your sake. And I'll tell you. And I'm glad the Sunday school teacher will tell you too. Right? Doctrine of baptisms. Well, whether it is John's baptism, you know, we've been studying this in the Sunday school, right? Or whether you are talking about water baptism, which is the Great Commission we just studied at the YG retreat. Or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whether it's of salvation, that is, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit, or whether you're talking about service in Acts 1:8. Baptisms of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to encourage you, if you are not baptized, please look to be baptized. If you're not confirmed in your faith, look to be confirmed in your faith. Okay? Laying on of hands. One part is about healing. The other part has to do with anointing and ordaining, being ordained. Okay? For Timothy, it was to stir up the gift that is in. Okay, let's turn to 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of your hands, or my hands. Because this really had to do with Timothy's ordination. And when he was ordained, the challenge that Paul gave to Timothy was to stir up. The word stir up involves the word fire. As you serve the Lord, where is that fire? Where is that passion? Stir up the gift that God has given to you. Each and every one of us, we are given a gift. Are you using the gift well? Are you stirring it up? Resurrection of the dead, you know, whether it's about Jesus' resurrection, whether it's about the promise of the resurrection, whether it's about the doctrine of the resurrection. You know, how well do you know about the resurrection? Do you know the resurrection of Christ affects our salvation, affects our life, affects our service, affects our death? You know, actually, it's one of the key things. The New Testament apostles, they spoke about tremendously in all their messages in the book of Acts. They kept bringing up the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is, to me, pivotal to our life and ministry. How well do you know the resurrection of the dead? And of course, lastly, eternal judgment. That we are passed from death into life, John 5. That we no longer have eternal judgment. But you know, the judgment continues for those who don't know the Lord. The wrath of God is there. How well do we know all these fundamental principles of our faith? And we should know. Seriously, what is your foundation like? If you were to go through this stress test, how firm a foundation do you have? Or do we have a biscuit tin kind of foundation? Maybe you have a good foundation. How are you building? Are you building well upon that foundation? What are you building? Do you have gold, silver, hay? Or do you have wood, hay, and straw? I mean, that's a challenge. And that's something that all of us, each and every one of us, whether for myself, the committee members, and for all of us here, each and every one of us, we need to think this through well enough. We don't want to suffer loss. One, we don't want to find ourselves considered not having a good foundation, and thereby we lose out. We don't have Christ. That's why to everybody who's seeking baptism, the first question that I will ask, what does Jesus mean to you? Who is He to you? Right? Fundamental question. Going beyond that, how does Christ affect our life in terms of ministry, in terms of our daily life, in work? So at the discipleship class that we were talking about, and we were just trying to struggle with work and everything else, and you know, where's Christ in our place? We have to wake up. You know, that's the reality of life. Work is work. Bosses are bosses. Colleagues are colleagues. They are what they are. You can't change them. Wake up. Even in the context of family, our parents, our siblings, they are who they are. The earlier you learn to accept your lot in life through faith in Christ, the earlier you rise above, the better you are in terms of ministry, in terms of how you can live your life in accordance to what Christ wants you to do. But if you just wallow, you just allow these things, the circumstances that you find yourself in your life, to get the better of you, and you, there's no point moping. There's no point saying, you know, why am I in this situation? We all go through different situations in life. I also. I have my own fair share of problems in my own life. Family concerns. Previously, of course, work problems. Now, I don't have work problems. Okay, I don't have work problems. Let me clarify very, very clearly and quickly. But you know, we all have our own fair share of problems. But you know, I learned to rise above. You think it's so easy also for me? You think it's very easy for me to overcome the difficulties? I own my own fair share of difficulties. But I learned to rise above. I learned to accept. And I learned to go beyond. Stephen Curry, he accepted his limitations, his physical difficulties. He's not a tall guy. He doesn't look like an NBA player. But he became the MVP. Rose above all his other, fellow guys in the course. And he became the top player. We all can learn what it means to overcome. I'm going to encourage you. Okay, we're not going into our groups, but as we fellowship together, my suggestion to you, talk to you, to the committee members, talk to each other. Challenge yourself, please. Let's think this through well enough. If you need to meet up during the week, meet up during the week. Think it through. If you want to talk to me, talk to me. More than happy. National Day coming. You got 4 days of holiday. You can make an appointment with me and say, you know, Pastor Mark, National Day, I want to meet you. Come. More than happy to meet up with you. But please get this right. Get it right. Okay? Alright, let's pray before we have a bit of fellowship together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray that you will help us to really look at our own lives and recognize how much we need to put our foundations, the building that we have built for ourselves in terms of faith and life, through this stress test, whether it is all that great a foundation, all that great a building that we have built for ourselves. Maybe we have wood, hay, straw. Maybe we need to redo areas in our life, to reconstruct ourselves, to pull down these things that have been somehow built into our own house of faith. We need to tear these things down and rebuild again. We pray, Lord, that you give us the courage and the wisdom to do it. And if we need help, help us, Lord, to seek that help. That we will really once and for all to really be able to work on a faith that is genuine, that is true, that is built up strong and sturdy, that is able to withstand the storms of life. We pray that you will challenge us. Even as we go for some fellowship, we ask that you will especially bless our fellowship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.